Morning. So why don't you turn to 1 John? We'll start there. We're continuing in our topic or a series about the love of God. Our vision this year, as you can see behind us, for God so loved the world, is that as a church we need to come, and I hope that you'll be with me on this, but we need to come as a church to really understand God's love if we're going to demonstrate it. You can't really demonstrate, you can't really show something that you don't understand.
Right.
And I think that, yeah, we have the concepts, the core concepts probably, but when it comes to really appreciating the characteristics of God's love and all that it entails, it's a deep well. And there's a lot to draw from. And I hope that the last couple messages, I do appreciate Rick being here last week, the Matthews family, and
amen.
I sure enjoyed getting preached to a little bit. So, preacher once said, good preaching makes me want to preach, and bad preaching makes me want to preach. So,
amen.
I'm ready to get back. I sort of missed it, but he said, well, Pastor, we didn't miss you. No, I hope it's not that way. Amen. Why don't we ask the Lord's blessing
amen.
For our preaching today? Father, we thank you for your love, and it humbles me. It's like Pilgrim had to be humble. I'm humble. Lord, that despite me, Lord, humbled that you'd save such a sinner. And humbled, Lord, that you'd not just save me, but Lord, you loved me. You showed mercy and to all of us, Lord. Thank you for Jesus and his sacrifice. May the meaning and may the significance of all that, Lord, that entails not be lost on us, Lord. May we not be as spoken of, Lord, that we forget that we are purged from our old sins. What a horrible place to be as a Christian. Father, I ask for your help, Lord. I really want to, as a believer, I want to really fully understand as best I can with this finite mind, your love. I want to understand what it means to love like you love. I want to be that kind of Christian, Lord, that loves people, loves you, Lord, as you desire to be loved, loves others as, Lord, you command us to love. And so I pray as we consider your word this morning and over the next few weeks, Lord willing, that we might come to that understanding. We need wisdom, and Father, you said if we lack it, we ask, and then you'll give. And Lord, so we come asking. We need wisdom. We need to know how to apply your word and how to use your word and the understanding and knowledge you give us. I ask for your Holy Spirit's help. I know that, Lord, if it's just me that's up here talking, Father, nothing's going to come of it. Lord, I know I have your word, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would have free reign in my heart and the hearts of all here today. We love you. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we get started, please pray. I meant to pray for her, but pray for Greta. Her grandmother passed away in Illinois. I don't know that her grandmother was saved, but Greta's just having Greta and Luther, right? The Urtles. Just pray for her if you would. I meant to mention it earlier, so I wanted to say it before I forgot. So, all right, now let's go to 1 John, please. Well, let's start in John. So keep your finger there in 1 John. Go to John chapter 13. The last message we looked at was this verse, John 13, verse 1, right? Where it speaks of the extent to which Jesus loved his disciples. The Bible says here, now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world, unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. You know, to me, what a blessing this is. We looked at a couple different aspects of God's love. First of all, that God's love is unlimited. Unlimited, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
Yes.
His love is wide ranging, it's for all. But the second thing we looked at, and we looked at how that God's love is limited to an extent. God's love is only available and present until the day that someone passes this earth. If you've rejected God's love, the moment one passes from this plane onto eternity, there's nothing to face but judgment. But what's interesting is if you look at Scripture, when one becomes a child of God, that love changes. It then becomes unlimited. It becomes as described here in John 13, where he says he loved them unto the end. God loves the world. He's compassionate. He views the world with pity. We know that God has compassion even to the point where Jesus wept when he looked at the plight of the people. God loves the world. We looked as far as the fact that, you know, people are not the enemy. I myself have found, you get a little confused. You look at people as the enemy. The enemy is the devil. He's our enemy. And boy, it's good to be reminded of that. And certainly people may be used by him. People may be following him. But really, the enemy is the devil. God loves people. He doesn't look at people as the enemy. He knows who the enemy is. And it's important for us to recognize that as well. What a blessing that as a believer, due to no effort of our own, God loves us to the end. It's a love that goes far beyond anything we could imagine or fathom. And I think even throughout all eternity, we'll be unable to exhaust the reaches of his love. John sums it up. Now go to 1 John if you would. When he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he makes this statement about the love of God. He says this. He says, "Behold, pay attention, look, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. See how great is his love." And he doesn't exhaust, try to just add adjective after adjective after adjective to describe his love. He just says this, "Behold what manner of love the Father." Look at the type of love. Behold it. View it. See it. How great it is. It is that kind of love that has caused us to be called his children. He loves us because he chooses to love us. There's nothing. You have nothing to offer God. It wasn't like God saw something special in you and he said, "I love you because of this." God just simply said, "I choose to love you despite you. I love you." I love all those who called upon me. Go to 1 John chapter 4, since we're there. Look at verse number 9. Scriptures that you are well familiar with. I'm not giving you anything that's like, wow, I've never seen that before. But rather, I hope that we'll come to understand them in a deeper fashion. 1 John 4, 9, it says, "And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." Look at verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Go to verse number 16. "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. God in him." Do you understand what that verse is saying? Let us read it again. "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that what? Dwelleth in love." Yes. Dwelleth in what?
God.
You want to walk with God? You want to be where God wants you to be? Then dwell and walk in love. Yes. Do you understand what's being said here? You know, we think that really our relationship with God is just a compendium of rules. That as long as I follow all these standards, you know what? I'm with God. No, what God wants you to do is dwell and walk in love. Yeah, that type of love will take care of all that. Right? That understanding that, you know what, I put God first. I put others first. I look to love as God loves. The message of Christianity is what? That God loves sinners, has sent his Son into the world to redeem them. That those who believe and accept that redemption, he pours out love that has no limits. And it's forever. And ever and ever. It's a mystery to me. How come he would ever choose to love us this way? I don't know. Who'd know the mind, right, of the Lord? It's simply because he chooses to. Why did he choose Israel? Was it because they were something wonderful? No. for reasons known only to himself. Yet, I like that. There's a song which says, right? It's a poem, actually. It's been made a song. We've sung it before. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. I don't know why, but I have known whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed against him, unto him against that day.
Amen.
We don't know why. Maybe in eternity we'll never know why. I don't know, but this, why would God love us? There is nothing to love. As he said to the Israelites, I've already, in Ezekiel chapter 16, he says, you're worse than the Samaritans. You're worse than Sodom. And Samaria and Sodom perish in judgment, but I love you. When we become children by faith in Jesus Christ, what kind of love do we then enjoy? Go to Luke chapter 15, and this will actually be, we'll have two texts this morning. This one will be the first. Luke 15. Very familiar, right? The prodigal son. Really, rather, is the parable of the loving father versus the prodigal son. A lot of focus given to the prodigal son. But it's really a forgiving father or a loving father. Look at verse number 11. You know the story, don't you?
Yes.
And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine had eaten. No man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring forth hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The Father is God. The Son is that worldly sinner that you and I were. Or maybe are. I hope that you're saved today. Don't want to make that assumption. Every sinner is created in the sense that, right, we are created in God's image. The Bible tells us that. And we see this sinner who squanders the privileges of being created in the image of God and goes and does his own thing and lives his own way, takes all the good things that God has given him by the virtue of being created in God's image and squanders it and wastes it on loose living and immorality and drunkenness. And he comes to the place where he realizes he has hit the bottom. He's been living in debauchery, and here he is serving the pig slop and having to eat the very same meals that is served to the pigs. He realized this is no way to live. And he comes back to God. He's a repentant sinner. He comes back to God sorrowful over his wasted life, sorrowful over squandering all the blessings and the grace that God has given him. Wasting time and opportunity, understanding who he is and where he is, his iniquity, his wickedness. And he goes and he says, I want to make things right with the Father. And he comes back. And you see God's love demonstrated. I don't know about you, verse 20 is one of the greatest verses in Scripture. Because I can picture it, can't you?
Father's looking. All right, which one of you are going to be prodigal today? You. You're the prodigal son. All right, go back to the door. Way back there. Way back there, Dave. And that's my prodigal son, Dave. And you can imagine the prodigal, the loving father, the forgiving father looking. The Bible says he saw him afar off. And as the son trudged his way, just walk. Just walk. Oh! Oh, son, I'm so glad you're home. Oh, I've been waiting for you. Oh, no. Oh, you stink. Bring the robe. You've been hanging out with pigs. Bring the robe. Right? Bring the ring. Bring some shoes. Put it on him. Hey, that pig over there we've been saving for the big feast. Kill that thing. Let's have dinner. And the son's just brokenhearted. Father, I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. Son, don't say that. I love you. That's what makes you somebody. Because I love you and you're my son. Welcome back. Go sit down. What compassion, what forgiveness. A father treating the son as if there is no past, right? I mean, could you imagine how bad that boy stank and how dirty he was having lived with the pigs and traveled the long road? And could you imagine the father all resplendent in his beautiful robes? I'm certainly a man of means. Hugging and kissing, loving. He didn't care. My son, you're home. I love you. I forgive you. But Father, my past, I don't care. I forgive you. I love you. But Father, you don't realize. I don't care. I love you. I forgive you. It's all in the past. His sins, just as ours are when we're saved, buried in the depths of the deepest sea. He wills them to be forgotten. You say, can God forget anything? Yes, He wills Himself to forget our sin. Wow. What affection. There was no reluctance, was there, right? There was no reluctance to say, well, you know, you did live a pretty bad life. You were a pretty wicked sinner. I could let you into the kingdom, but I really shouldn't. Is that the attitude? No, he says, come in. All is forgiven. I don't even know. I don't even care. You're home. There is no past that is gone. It's disappeared. All the son experiences is being embraced and kissed and hugged, and the joy of the father is overflown. The son is shocked. Look at verse 21. He expected basically the father to stand there like we would. Well, what have you to say for yourself? You want to come home? I don't know. I have to think about it. Boy, you stink. Look at you. But is that how it was handled? The son is like, Father! You don't realize how messed up I am. I've sinned against thee, against heaven, and in thy sight. Don't call me your son. I'm not worthy. See, that's repentance. You know, people have a hard time with repentance today. That's repentance. Seeing yourself as God would see you. Right? To confess your sins, the Bible says we're to confess our sins. The word confess means to agree with God. This man is repentant. He says, you know what? I'm not worthy. I'm humbled. He was aware how wasted and squandered his life has been. He knew what was available. He had nothing to offer. He's turning from his sin, turning from his wasted life. He comes to God. He's humbled, first of all, by his sin. But number two, I believe he is humbled by God's grace. What is more humbling than being aware of how gracious God is? Here are the... It's almost as he's pushing the father away, saying, Father, don't you understand how wicked I've been? Don't you realize how I've wasted everything you've given me, this whole life, the very air that I've breathed? I've wasted all this time. Isn't that humbling? God says, I don't care. Come here. I love you. What do you mean you don't care? You're now my son. All is forgiven. In fact, what wasted life? What wicked living? I don't even know what you're talking about. Because you're my son. Look, do you not have the robe? Do you not have the ring? Do you not have the sandals? You don't look like a wicked sinner to me. You look like a child of God. Do you recognize that today? How humbling that is. But Father, not another word. Why are you being so good to me? I choose to. But. No buts. I choose to. I love you because I want to. Now you say, Pastor, we know all this. Okay, let's pragmatically bring. We are to love as God loved. Is that how you love? Now we get convicted, don't we? I'm convicted. Is that how you love your children? I choose to love you. When they're humble and they're repentant, is it, you know what? I forgive you. Let's not talk about it anymore. I love you. Whew. To think of the love manifested by God. There's no regard for the worthiness of the Son. He just says, let's start the party. Look at verse 24. He says, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. He said, it's time to have fun. Put it all aside. He's here. He's found. He's alive. Go to our second passage this morning. Go to Romans chapter 8. Man, I hope to encourage you in this. You hope, this is my goal. You walk out of here today with a greater appreciation of God's love for you. And number two, you walk away saying, you know what? I got a lot of work on in my life to love like He loves. Romans 8. What a picture of the character of His love found here in Romans chapter 8, verse 35. If you're going to understand God's love, you got to get a hold of this. All right, or a holt of it. That's Texas. If you're from Texas, that's what you say. Get a holt of it. All right? Look at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. What's he saying? He's saying, you know what? Can anything separate us from God's the love of Christ? Because part of being a Christian is facing that kind of thing, right? Sword and persecution, right? Because that's what he's saying, right? In verse 36. It says, as it is written, we are what? For thy sake we are killed all the day long. So that is part of being a Christian, facing that type of thing. So would any of that separate us from God's love? Well, we know the answer. Look at verse 37. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither depth nor light, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God, doesn't matter the distresses I've been in, the persecutions I've been through, the tribulations I face, Paul says, I'm convinced that nothing will separate me from the love of God. The love of God towards us is unbreakable, it's inseparable, it's unconquerable, and it's everlasting. It never fades, it never wavers, it never wanes, it never grows cold, it never changes. God loves us with an everlasting love. He's loved us to the end. He loves the world with temporal love. His love for the world is unlimited. It's there until the day they finally come to the place where they've rejected him and they pass on. No more love, only judgment. But for those that are Christians, there's an everlasting love that can never be broken. Let's actually go to one more scripture this morning, and I'm nearly at the completion point. I'm not going to get all the way through this. I really wanted to get to the third part of the understanding God's love, is that it's all about His glory, but I don't know that we'll get there. There's just so much here. Like I said, it's like a well. Like, you just keep drawing up buckets. You're like, all right, let's go get some more. I don't know. Ephesians chapter 2. Look what it says here. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. What is being said here? He uses the same term or the same type of idea or construct that John uses. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us. Everything starts out of great love, out of God's love. And He goes on to define it. He says what? Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, He loved us. He quickened us together. He loved us in our transgressions. He made us alive with Christ because of His love. Look at verse 6. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does it mean? It means our real home is in heaven. Our real life is in that spiritual dimension that lies beyond this world. He loved us so much that even when we were dead in sins, He made us alive in Christ through grace. And I'm gonna leave you with this thought. Look at verse 7, why? You say, well, why would God love me? We actually now answer the question here. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. I want to finish with this thought, and I hope you leave here walking on cloud nine, so to speak. All right? This is exciting. You say we don't deserve His kindness. Yes. And that's why He gets so much glory from showing it to us. He says, I don't deserve it. You're right. You don't deserve it. But guess what? He shows it. How glorifying is that? God says, but God, they're wicked. Look, they even cursed Your name before they became one of Your children. I don't care. I love them anyway, and I'm kind towards them anyway. You say, wow, what a great God. Right? What a wonderful God. He far surpasses, goes beyond the limitations of man. He gets so much glory from simply showing kindness to us. Forever and ever, we'll not just thank Him for His kindness, but we'll thank Him for His kindness because we know we never deserved it. You and I will get to heaven, and God, I'm going to get to this point. You know what's going to happen in heaven? People say, heaven sounds so boring. You're an ignoramus, and I mean that in a kind way. You don't know your Bible. You know what heaven's going to be all about? God showing us His kindness each and every moment. And you say, well, certainly that's got to run out. You know, maybe it's like my husband. He's only got like three, he's a three-trick pony. You know, he buys me flowers, he takes me to dinner, and he washes the dishes. Right? You ladies, yeah. And he may clean up, throw up sometimes when the kids, you know. So, okay, he's got four. That's not God. Do you think you're ever going to get to the place where you're going to like outgrow God's kindness? Where you're going to be tired of His blessings, of His grace? Heaven is that place where God will show us His kindness out of the surpassing riches of His grace forever. You say, I'm going to go to heaven and God's going to spend the whole time just being kind to me. Yep. Look at the scripture. What does it say? that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in what? His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The eternity of heaven is this, God being kind to us forever and ever and ever. God has an infinite mind, and he has infinite ways that he can show us that kindness, that grace. You know what eternity will be like? It'll be, I don't know if we'll sleep, I don't think we will. It'll be coming to the next display of God's kindness and just our minds are blown. I never thought it could get better. And here it just has. And then the next, right? I remember being in youth work. And one thing you got to be careful when you're in youth work is not to get to this place where you try to do bigger and better every time because you got to hit a ceiling somewhere, right? I mean, we got to the place where we were just doing crazy stuff. Things that you're like actually you're messing stuff up because you're trying to. That's not how it's going to be with God. You'll think God has hit the ceiling of his kindness and he'll just go another step and another step and another step. That's what heaven's going to be like. All because he's chosen to love you and me. That doesn't humble you and excite you. And to say, you know what, God? It challenges me to love you like you love. I don't know about you. When I look at God's love in this perspective, then I look at myself and I say, I am so... God, forgive me. My love is so weak. Right? I can't tell you how many times I love someone, I care for someone, because they have something I want. Let's just be really honest. Okay? Right? You say, are you saying you're a user? Sometimes I am. Sometimes you are. That's not how God is. I got to tell you, there's times where I really have a hard time loving someone because of the things they do. Is that how God is? God help me. I want to show it. That's our vision this year. Now that we're understanding it, that's what I'm saying. This is a vision not to be taken lightly. This is a theme not to be taken lightly. If we're going to love like God loved, you know what? At least I'm finding myself challenged to say, man, that's a high bar, God. And we almost got to be like Pilgrim. What did Pilgrim do when he found himself unable to defeat the enemy, Elizabeth? He cried out, what? God, help me. He said, God, I can't love. God says, I know you can't. But by my power and by my grace, you can love like I love. We got to throw ourselves in his arms of mercy and grace and say, God, show me. Help me. Power me. Amen. Let's pray. If you're new here, we don't have a traditional invitation. I feel like, you know, it's important that we walk away sober-minded about what we've considered. What I would say to you is that this time of prayer is a moment in which to begin a conversation with God, to say, God, in these areas of my life, you've spoken to me through your word. And now I'm going to come away from church and I'm going to spend this afternoon, I'm going to meditate and think about these things even throughout this day and maybe into this new week. So let's pray together. Will you pray with me silently? I'll pray aloud. Let's really ask the Lord to bring us to that place of humility and teaching. Father, we thank you for your word. I do. I'm humbled, Lord, to think of, Lord, the depth of your love. And Lord, I didn't even cover it in entirety. I mean, we're just really skimming the surface. But Lord, it is quite deep for us, our finite, weak-minded folks, when compared to you. Thank you. That's all I can say is thank you. Lord, I feel like that prodigal son. I'm not worthy. And Lord, I know you look down and say, I know you aren't, but I love you despite, because I chose to love you. And so I thank you for that. I thank you that, Father, all that will call upon Jesus, all that will turn and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, that same love is present there for each person. Father, I want to pray for anyone here that has never really experienced God's love in that way. Whether they be a young person, whether they be an adult. Maybe they've prayed a prayer, maybe they've gone through religious motions, and Lord, they're sitting there almost, they're lost. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit of conviction would continue and begin even at this moment to work in their hearts to say, you are lost without Christ. You are just putting on a show. You're just putting on an act. You need the real thing. And today would be the day of their salvation. And for those in here that are believers, that have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, thank you for again revealing to us the degree of your love. And Father, help us that we might show to others, demonstrate to others the same type of love, the same kind of love. And we can't do it on our own. We need your help. May we be a church, regardless of how big or small. We'll be a church full of folks that are saying, you know what, we're determined by God's grace to demonstrate his love, to love people the way he loves people, to love, Lord, one another as he desires for us to love one another, to love the lost like he loves the lost. Certainly it'll never be enough, but help us to strive for that. I ask that you bless us now as we go our separate ways. Be with our brothers and sisters unable to be here this morning because of sickness or whatever it might be. I pray you be with Greta. Lord, I thank you for her desire to follow you. And I just pray that as she deals with the death of her grandmother and, Lord, situations within her family, that you would give her wisdom and strength. Lord, and this would draw her closer to you. Be with others as well, Lord, we've already mentioned and prayed for. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anything before we go today? All right. Amen. Well, let's be back. If you can, 5 o'clock tonight, we'll eat dinner together, or breakfast rather, and then we'll join together at 6 for worship. So let's be dismissed. We'll see you tonight, 5 o'clock. Let's